Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. In Sioux Falls, we're pretty lucky to have amazing performance venues to watch a variety of shows, like the Orpheum Theater. But the best shows in town are the ones produced by the local talent. The Premier Playhouse highlights Sioux Empire stars and puts their own twists on iconic shows. Their season is underway and they have a lot of exciting shows in store for you. And we have a special guest in the studio to tell us more. He is the managing artistic director with the Premier Playhouse, good friend of mine, Oliver Mays. Good morning, Oliver.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome back. This might as well be like your second home at this point.
I know. I feel like I'm here a lot, which I enjoy. I'm not mad about it.
No. And we love talking to you about the upcoming shows at the Premier Playhouse. Let's remind the audience about who you are, where you're from, and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So as you said, I'm the managing artistic director of the Premier Playhouse. We're a community-based nonprofit theater and education organization here in Sioux Falls. We're in residence at the Orpheum, but we do really try to engage with the community in a variety of ways that takes us to other locations in the city, such as Icon Event Hall, Dada Gastropub, Startup Sioux Falls, venues like that. And then as far as me and my background, I kind of grew up doing theater. I grew up in the Portland, Oregon area. I went to undergrad in Los Angeles, and then I lived and worked in New York City, where I spent most of my career, kind of started as an actor and then moved into directing and producing predominantly. And that's what I do to this day.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't think I've ever asked you this question before. Since you were on stage and behind the stage now, what do you prefer? Do you like being on stage? Do you like kind of seeing the show get created and the creative process behind it? What's your favorite?
That's such a good question. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately,
actually.
Yeah, it's a very relevant question. Because it started as a love for being on stage. And I think that had to do with telling stories, expressing myself creatively, things of that sort. And then as I've gotten older, I've just found more of an interest and commitment and dedication to being behind the scenes. I don't necessarily feel the need to be the person that's in the limelight telling the story from that perspective. I like to be on the back end and kind of help artists cultivate their artistry and tell their story. I also, to be frank, like not having to be on stage all the time. There's just an upkeep about that, you know? And yeah. I like to keep myself busy with, again, all the inner workings of theater. So I think that's been my favorite as of late. And I think also just I kind of worked hard and fast in my career, so I still have a lot ahead of me, but I feel like I've learned a lot in what I've done so far. And I like to use those tools and experiences to help other people.
And I know I asked you this a couple of times, and you can answer it again. I always ask you about the first production that you were ever a part of, but I'm going to change that a little bit. This is on the fly.
Okay.
What was your first crew role in a production?
Oh.
Was it lighting? Was it audio? I was audio, actually. That was my go-to.
That is such a good question. And mine was either props or stage management, and then soon after, one or the other. So actually managing backstage and a lot of like scenic elements, but hand props and things of that sort, furniture, more so managing things. Again, I think as a performer and a director and a visionary, I am an artist in that way, but I'm also a manager and an administrator and kind of thrive in that way where maybe other artists don't. So when I first took on crew roles, it really had to do a lot with like supervising and helping people work together because that was what I had a knack for. Oh, and also it was directing, actually. I'm trying to remember if I in high school started directing or stage managing first, but was really trying my hand at that from an early age as well.
So do you remember the first production where you were on crew or you were directing, anything like that?
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Let me think about that.
I know, I'm giving you this on the fly.
Well, a couple, actually, and now my answer is going to change. This is crazy. So I'm doing the Glass Menagerie at the Premier Playhouse as a director. But my first time doing that show was as the quick changer for Tom, the lead role. So I was on wardrobe crew, and that was one of my first crew experiences. Other crew experiences were noises off, which is where I think I did props. And then stage management for other plays that are actually kind of slipping my mind at this time. But yeah.
Yeah, you have an extensive resume, and I know it's nerve-wracking being on stage and performing, but what if you misplace a prop or you forget some little handkerchief for a costume? Isn't that kind of nerve-wracking too?
Yeah, that's very nerve-wracking, and that's actually the funny part of my job now is when we open a show and we're like, it's a well-oiled machine now, or it's going well, and something like that can happen. And
yeah,
when you're watching from the back and you know something's going awry, you as the producer, I have to decide, am I gonna run back there, try to help them, or oh, they've got it handled? You know, every situation's kind of different. But then I've also been backstage when we've been like, how do we fix this moment where she just walked on without that and the lines are not going to make sense, or, you know, several situations where you kind of got to make it work. But that's the beauty of live theater. And I think that's why a lot of us love doing that. Film and media are an amazing form of expression, but there's an excitement and a positive anxiety to the live theater experience.
And you wouldn't change that?
No, yeah, no, not at all. Especially since I'm the director and the producer now and not the actor.
Right.
Maybe if I were the actor,
pressure,
I'd be like, oh my God, this is a lot of pressure. But but I leave that to my actors now.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be done, as you being the director and the producer. If you are just joining us, we are in the studio right now with Oliver Mays. He is the managing artistic director at the Premier Playhouse. Now, you're from out of town, so I asked you this before too. How did you find the Premier Playhouse in Sioux Falls?
Great question. Kind of in such a roundabout way, I knew about the Premier Playhouse, formerly known as Sioux Empire Community Theater, when I was in grad school. So I did move from New York to what I call the middle of nowhere, Vermilion, South Dakota, to attend the University of South Dakota's MFA directing program. And while I was there, they have great connections with a lot of the local theaters in terms of folks needing directors or specific personnel for their productions. And so I was kind of in talks to maybe direct a show for them when I was in my grad program, but I was also really busy in my grad program teaching, directing, doing marketing for them, things of that sort. So I couldn't ultimately direct the show, but that's when I became aware of it. And then I think as I was finishing school, or I don't remember when I saw it, but I saw their production of Mamma Mia. Mm. And I had directed Mamma Mia, and they used part of our set, so I thought that was cool. And that was one of my first times, I think, at the Orpheum. And I was like, this is such a beautiful historic theater. And so that felt like a pretty magical thing. And so again, yeah, I was always kind of around. I saw a show. I was impressed with the work and the community that I was seeing. And then a good amount of time had passed, and I was living in Portland, based out of there while freelancing. And then Robin Byrne, my predecessor, called me about the opportunity to direct Cabaret, the season 19 finale. And so that's when my journey with the Premier Playhouse really began, when I uprooted everything and came out here to direct that show. And then my role opened up, and I got to take this position on, and it's just been amazing ever since. But yeah, it was definitely in increments in terms of knowing about it, seeing a show, having the opportunity to work with the organization at maybe a lower scale, and then transitioning into this full-time position, which has been really nice because
yeah,
when you commit to a job like this, you really are all in, and you have to be embracing of the idea of serving your community, believing in the nonprofit's mission and vision. And I wholeheartedly believe in all of that and really know what we're doing at the Premier Playhouse is special. And so because of that, it's made taking this job on easier.
Well, it's gotten you to stay here in Sioux Falls, too. You're considered a Sioux Fallsian. I think that's how they say it around here. I'm not sure.
I love Sioux Falls.
I was going to say, your thoughts about the theater community in the Sioux Empire and maybe finding those little diamonds in the rough, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's a good question. Yeah. When I got to Sioux Falls, I was enamored with the rich arts and culture experiences. There's so much going on in terms of all of the events downtown, curated by downtown Sioux Falls, all of the arts organizations, all of the local theater, all of the visual art experiences, dance, music, everything. So it was kind of cool to come to a town, having lived in big cities all my life, I like the size of this city. I like that downtown feels busy and lively with all that culture, but that you can, you know, take a step away, maybe live on the outskirts, have a breather, and have that suburban life. So the city itself, I love that dynamic. And then within the arts and culture, yeah, it's, I'm just really impressed with the multitude and magnitude of what we have going on in this city. Really impressive work, really intentional work, and a lot of it. So I wanted to be somewhere that had that, and how cool that I get to be somewhere that has that and be a part of making that impact. I think that is what's different about what I was doing before and what I'm doing now is being in New York, you're kind of, it's an amazing place and I met a lot of amazing people, but you're kind of drowning in commercialism.
Sure.
In terms of just, you know, doing theater that that will sell really well. And that's still a goal here with local theater, but it's also about bringing community together and doing it for your community. So I kind of like having that objective more so than what my objectives were before.
Sure, absolutely. And the Premier Playhouse, even though it's been around for a little bit, it's under a new name. And we got to keep reminding that with people too, saying it's under a new name. So why don't you tell us about the Premier Playhouse itself and a little bit about the name change and the reason behind it.
I'm so glad you asked that because I think a lot of people, particularly since I came into this role, they might be confused and associate the Premier Playhouse as a new entity mm-hmm. or a different entity. But we are the Sioux Empire Community Theater doing business as the Premier Playhouse. And that rebranding happened about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And so we're actually technically still the same organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit for the community, by the community. The only difference is the name, which for us, or at least me and, you know, the board and staff, is paying homage to the original Playhouse group. So before it was Sioux Empire Community Theater, it was Sioux Falls Community Playhouse and other iterations. Mm-hmm. But the word Playhouse was there. And a lot of people said, I'm going to the Playhouse, or are you going to go see the show at the Playhouse? And we really like that. And
yeah.
I think there's a simplicity to that as well. So honoring the Playhouse name and then adding Premier, because we are the largest community-based theater in South Dakota. And we do think of ourselves as the premier programming
yeah.
for community-based theater.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, too. And you have put together a lot of different shows, and you've even put some twists on those iconic shows, too. So tell us about the kind of shows that the Premier Playhouse has brought to life here in Sioux Falls.
We've been doing a lot of fun shows. That's what I think I really love about this job, is we have to find this mix of giving our community the titles that they're familiar with or that interest them, stories that we know our community resonates with, but also not taking the lazy route and just doing maybe what's expected. Also, a lot of the time we can't, because financially you have to get creative with how you do some of these big titles when you're a low budget community theater. So we actually, a lot of our creativity and our new angles and spicing things up, it comes from number one, an objective of creative expression. So the people that we're bringing in to do the shows, like, that for me is a huge part of what mm-hmm. we're doing, is letting them flex those muscles. But then secondarily, it's also about doing it in a way that is appropriate to our environment. And so a big example for me is we did The Little Mermaid
mm-hmm.
and we did it in a pretty quote unquote big or fun way, but we actually didn't have a big set because we thought long and hard about how do you represent these bodies moving in water when they're actually just on stage. And we didn't want to resort to the Broadway style heelys and everyone skating all over stage. So we were like, what if the set actually moved? And what if we used actors, like what if they became sea elements that helped move the bodies throughout the stage? And so that's what we focused on, was working with our actors and making the set maybe more minimalist, but move around a lot more. So we've done things like that. We've taken Cinderella.
I was just going to bring that one up. You made it into a 70s show.
Yeah, we made Cinderella a 70s show, which I think some people were pretty shocked about that. And something I want to. Yeah. And a lot of people liked it, and maybe some people didn't.
Yeah.
But something I want to remind people of is that was Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, mm-hmm. and it was the most recently revised version. So some people were like, what did you do? You changed this. And we did not change the script. That is the material. But we did put it through a lens that felt more socially relevant. And so that's what we were excited about. And that one was maybe more of a creative choice that we thought was sending a more important message. But again, we didn't change anything about the show.
Yeah.
And then we've also done shows like Grease, where we kept that mostly traditional and threw in a surprise for audiences in that show. And we're going to be doing the same thing with Oklahoma and Hair, honestly.
Ooh.
Oklahoma will feel very much so classic, but also very much so modern. And you're going to see elements of maybe the original Oklahoma production or movie, but you're also going to see elements of the most recent revival from the Broadway production of Oklahoma that leans into the bluegrass style and kind of country, commercial country music aspects. So it'll still feel very classic, but we're making it feel a little bit more relevant. Yeah. To today.
Absolutely. How many shows does the Premier Playhouse perform each year, roughly?
Roughly. So I say 10 plus. And okay. Let me break that down for you. We're actually moving into a slightly different model, a more half and half model, because we are constantly and evolvingly focusing more on education. So this last season, we have five main stage productions, and two or three education productions, then some expanded programming. But this next season, we're moving into 4 and 4. So we have 4 main stage productions, 4 education productions, and that's 8. And then we will have our passion project performance, which is expanded programming. So that takes us to 9. And then the 10 plus for me is because we'll do a season preview concert. We do a premiere karaoke showdown. We do the Rocky Horror singing shadow cast. We do a lot of outreach performances, and those are maybe shorter in length or cheaper or free. And so I kind of combine them, but we're really doing well over a dozen performances a year.
Yeah, you guys are always busy. If you are just listening, Oliver Mays with the Premier Playhouse. He is the managing artistic director. He's joining us in the studio right now. Before we even started this interview, I liked how you called this year the summer of education. And you guys, you have a great educational program. So why don't you tell us more about it?
Yeah. So I call it the summer of education because summertime is when we hone in on a lot of our youth performance and youth camps. So throughout the year, we offer educational offerings to both adults and youth, but those are primarily classes, some maybe with showcases, workshops, things of that sort, things that work in tandem with our main stage programming. But over the summer, we wholeheartedly focus on education. So our Penguin Project program goes on for months, but the summer is the main time frame for it. And so our Penguin Project program is our all abilities performance program, where we put artists that are differently abled in the spotlight, and they're mentored by folks that are maybe not differently abled and have experience on stage and want to work with them in a successful performance being brought to the Orpheum stage. So that's one thing. And then we do 2 camps, and we have an 11 to 14 year old camp, which this summer is James and the Giant Peach Jr.
Ooh.
And we're doing some exciting titles. And then our 6 to 10 year old camp is A Year with Frog and Toad Kids.
Oh, That's so cute.
And then I failed to mention our Penguin Project production is the Wizard of Oz Youth Edition.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we're doing all amazing titles. We have amazing students. I think we're doing something right because they keep returning. So in terms of registration right now, we have like all of our veterans from last year joining us again this year. So that's really exciting to see. And we're hoping to just continue to build that program. We're also working on building our scholarship program for that. As the camps do cost us a pretty penny to make happen, but they're very important to us. That's why I call it the Summer of Education, because we do 3 shows in the span of a month, essentially, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, it's a lot for kids, and it's, they're all only doing it in 2 to 3 to 4 week stints, but we're with them there side by side making it happen all summer. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and speaking about the productions and the shows that you guys have, I want to talk more about this year's season, this year's lineup. You already gave us an insight about Oklahoma, but I know from the last time talking to you and just from talking to you in general, you were so excited about bringing Hair to Sioux Falls. And I saw kind of a little promo about it the other day on social media with the behind the scenes photo shoot and whatnot. And it looks like it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, Hair is going to be amazing. Hair is a really special show. It was the first rock musical on the Broadway stage. Broadway musicals prior to that show had rock music in their scores, but it was the first fully fledged out rock musicals, which so that's a pretty huge landmark in musical theater history. But it also, you know, sends a really important message. It also has really important and resonating music that people know of, like Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In, Hair, things of that sort. And then for me, yeah, it was actually a large part of my graduate studies. It's something that the board was interested in. It's something that the staff was interested in. And it's a show that was kind of pushing us to continue our diversity goals in terms of recruitment. So this story, if told accurately, we'll have lots of bodies of color on stage. And that's what we worked diligently to do. So our cast is all colors, shapes, and sizes, identities, backgrounds to come together to tell this story. It's a tribe of hippies that are really trying to send the message of peace, love, happiness, right? And so that sounds all fun and games, but it also has a lot of depth and darkness to it. So that would be my warning to folks, is that it's definitely an adult production. If you bring your kids, you probably will complain to us about it just because of the content of the show.
And that's
so
good to know too for people when you're buying tickets and whatnot.
Correct. Yeah. So what I've been saying to people is Oklahoma is your family night out and Hair is the adults night out.
Yeah. Not to mention you probably have to find like rockers. I mean like guys that really just want to get out on stage and belt out
exactly
whatever and rock ballad they want to.
And the cast is so talented. So we got really lucky with like I said, the wide variety of types of humans, but also what they can offer creatively. The last thing I'd like to share in regards to that is that it's also a piece that's in conversation with another piece in our season. This wasn't something that we could have planned for initially, but what ended up beautifully happening is when we chose our premieres pieces, Richard W. Swanson's play Hearing, which was just in the premieres, is also a play about war. And it's kind of shares different perspectives about joining the war or not. And Hair is essentially the same conversation, but from a different perspective. So those plays are going to actually be in conversation with each other and only a few months apart in terms of our like season subscribers or frequent ticket buyers being able to have that experience and then months later come back and have it again, but again, from a different angle. And I think that's important. So it's not our job in the theater to tell you what to think or what to do. But it is our job to open up your eyes and your ears to possibilities, thoughts, questions. And that's what I think those shows do together.
Interpretation. It's to whatever you think the show is about. And it's up to your own mind to kind of get whatever it is you want out of
it. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And besides all the great actors and actresses that are here in town, there's also a great crew behind the scenes. We really don't talk about the crew that much. So let's talk about some roles that people have behind the stage, behind the scenes.
I love that. Well, one thing that I can think of off the top of my head is costumes. Costumes are so important. They land you in the reality of the world of the play in terms of time period, location, anything of that sort. And we have an amazing costumer on staff, Brittany Lewis, who manages our costume shop and then is our primary costume designer and maker of all things costumes throughout the season. She just does an incredible job. We throw a lot at her. I met her at USD. She has a BFA in design, a costume design technology. She really knows what she's doing in terms of costuming a large cast, a small cast, anything of that sort. So her work is just amazing. And I don't think that people talk about that enough. And it's a huge job. We throw as many volunteers and support crew at her as we can. But each show that kind of changes based on needs, based on availability. But she is the tried and true for us. And she really makes it happen, which is amazing. But other roles are sound design and sound engineering. So sound engineering is folks' mics and like the way you're able to hear them. Sound design is maybe the music or the soundscape landscapes mm-hmm. or anything that you hear within and around the world of the play. Lighting design, scenic design. Jill Clark is one of our frequent scenic designers, and she does incredible work. I'm sure that folks are really familiar with her work from Cinderella, yeah. from The Little Mermaid, other shows like that.
I love hearing all this stuff, and you were talking about volunteers. I know last season you guys had a big need for volunteers for multiple shows. So what do people have to do to volunteer with the Premier Playhouse? And what is a typical volunteer schedule like for anybody that wants to volunteer with the Premier Playhouse?
That is such a good question, Christine. And it's so important because we are a community theater. So yeah. volunteers make it happen for us in terms of so many parts of the process, but in turn we're also trying to give them a lot in terms of experience, education, community. But there's a plethora of opportunities, and the main source that you're going to want to go to first is our website. Our website has a volunteer page. It actually has different links to the different areas that you can check out, and when you click on them, then you can see the schedule for that area, and we change that per show. So each project, once one finishes, we actually switch it over to the next one, and you can see what's available. Some examples of what's available is for like front of house, we do have a merchandise table. So we have people that help us with the 50-50 raffle. We have people that help us sell our TPP merchandise, or like during a Christmas carol, our holiday collectibles, anything of that sort. Backstage, we have, these are the folks that help our production team, but maybe don't need as much knowledge, but they help the show run. So a light board operator, a soundboard operator, deck crew, where you maybe help the set move around, or you track the backstage traffic of the set pieces and things of that sort. Props crew, wardrobe crew, hair and makeup crew. We usually have a need for at least 1 to 2 people in each area. And again, each show kind of changes what those needs are. Like, it sounds probably pretty daunting, but it's not. There's so much support around you in terms of learning how to do things. And also, like for deck crew, you're like, set pieces? What? That sounds huge and scary and crazy. But there's a lot of people. And also, because of the way we do our shows, we make the actors move the set a lot, because I don't really like to see crew members on stage if they're not costumed. Yeah. It's just an aesthetic thing for me. So they really, the crew members sometimes have a pretty chill job in terms of they're really just like managing some backstage traffic and things of that sort. So you got that. And then you also have, maybe you can't help with the run of the show, but our biggest need is usually load in or load out volunteers. Mm. We do not own the space that we're in. We rent the Orpheum. And so because of that, when we enter the theater, we're there for a very specific amount of time. So my production manager schedules every hour of the day to make sure we're being productive, to make sure that folks know where they need to be, and make sure that we're getting our money's worth in terms of how we're spending our time in that space. So because of that, we have people where the set is completed, but it was built at our shop offsite and has now been traveled in a truck, and we need to reassemble it and make it put all together on the yeah. stage. So people help us kind of with that. Pierce, our technical specialist, will lead that assembly because he's built the set most of the time, but he does need support with that. And then we have like outreach and events volunteers. And these are the ones, these are the opportunities that come up less frequently, but that we're always looking to recruit people for. And so sometimes that is Sidewalk Arts Festival. We have yeah. a booth. And so we'll ask our Little Mermaid actors to join us for that. We have done Love It at the Falls. Mm-hmm. And so just asking people to help us with things of that sort. I really like to have people who have a good temperature on the organization at events like that, so that we can genuinely engage with folks and let them know what's going on at the Premier Playhouse.
Yeah. Overall, just a lot going on with you guys at the Premier Playhouse. Your season's underway. It's the summer of education. So many different volunteer opportunities with you guys. Again, Oliver Mays with the Premier Playhouse is with us in the studio. And Oliver, I hate to say this, but we're out of time.
That is a bummer.
I know. So if anybody wants more information about tickets, how to volunteer, anything like that, what's a good website and a phone number to keep handy?
Our website is www.thepremierplayhouse.com, and that's premier with an E at the end. And then the box office phone number is 605-367-6000. And if you're interested in calling our offices as it relates to education, volunteer opportunities, or events, anything of that sort, you can reach us at 605-360-4800.
Again, lots of great information there for the Premier Playhouse. Oliver Mays, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I know we'll see you again, so come back anytime, okay?
Thank you, Christine.